All right. Exodus chapter 3. Now, today I want to talk to you about something that is very dear to me, because it's something that has served me up until the speaking of my voice right now. And that topic is vision. What is vision? What is direction? And why in the world do we need it? Why do we need direction? I saw Tony Reale spoke something on his Facebook the other day about his company going in a different direction. That's vision. That's direction. When you hear me talking about small groups, when you hear me talking about ministry and focus on the lost, and you look around here and you see our vision is evangelism, prayer, worship, loving people, and discipleship. Hey, I'm not a complicated guy, all right? I'm a meat and potatoes type of guy, all right? So I'm not going to give you a 10-page thesaurus on vision and what our vision is. No, it's wrapped up in these five things that you see around here. These are not just decorative. This is what we believe in. This is what we function in. And this is, if anything, you know, sometimes in vision, you got to say no to a lot of really good things. You got to say no to things that could possibly make you a whole lot of money, or possibly get a better job for you, or like for the church, I have people come up and say, "Hey, Pastor, what do you think about going down and doing this in the ministry, going downtown and doing something in ministry down there, over here, over there, here and there?" And sometimes I have to say no, because it doesn't fit what we're doing. Because we can get bogged down in doing 100,000 good things and be totally lost as to what God wants us to do. And if what we're doing doesn't measure up to these things, then we have to say no, because we got to go in line with what God's vision is for our church. Amen? And so without vision, we see our lives kind of like, you ever seen these Coke bottle lenses where it's like, whoa, can't see anything, you know, you're kind of, how do I look? Somebody want to take a picture? Woo. But sometimes not having vision is like wearing these Coke bottle lens glasses. You know that there's something there out there. You know that it's something you want. And so, I'm not going to walk any further, but it's like, you know, it's something that you want, and it's kind of visible. There's kind of shapes and stuff, and it looks kind of familiar, and it's something that you think you want, but it's not into view. It's not coming into clarity. It's not fixate. Hold on a second. And so it's not coming into clarity, because we have these lenses on, and because we can't tell exactly what it is. And if vision is simply this, vision's not complicated, church. It's not. Vision and direction is not complicated. It's a direction that God has planned for your life in relation to you. That's what vision is. I have people tell me all the time, "Pastor, I have no clue what I've been put on this earth for." There's a way that you can find that out. There's a direction that you can go in order for God to speak into your life. Purpose. How many of you guys want purpose in your life? I don't know about you, but I don't want to just work. I don't want to just work. I don't want to just come home and do the same thing 100,000 times each and every day without any vision, without any purpose, because purpose and vision fuels your life. It gives you passion. Amen? And so we look at Exodus chapter 3, starting with verse 1, and let's read. So now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock. He led the flock at the far side of the desert. Boy, those glasses are really getting in my eyes. The desert, and came to Hebron, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over there and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." When the Lord saw that what he had gone over to look, God called him forth within the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." Now let me stop right there, okay? If I was out tending my flock and I saw a bush burning for no particular reason, and I go over to see what's going on with this bush, and all of a sudden my name is called out twice, I'd be a little freaked out, wouldn't you? I mean, come on. I'd be a little freaked out. I'm not going to lie to you. And here Moses is looking at this bush, and he's transfixed on the flames, and he can't believe that even though the thing is on fire, it's consumed, just completely consumed, but it's not being burned up. It's not being destroyed. And so he's fixated on this, and all of a sudden, he hears his name coming from the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, "Here I am." I'd be like, "Whoa." But Moses is like, I'm right here. I'm right here. He says, "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. This was Moses' introduction to who God was, the God of Israel. This is God getting to know Moses and introducing himself to Moses. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, and all the other ites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Verse 10, "So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." So, vision, again, is simply this, all right? It's a discovery of God's plan as it relates to you. Plain and simple. Here's the background, okay? Moses, 40 years prior to that, he's 40 years old. You guys know the story of Moses, all right? And he's raised in Pharaoh's home by Pharaoh's daughter. So Moses is having an identity crisis. He's raised in the palace, but yet he sees his fellow Israelites out there doing hard labor. And it's not like they're getting paid for it. They're slaves. And so Moses is conflicted about who he really is. All his life he's been raised in the palace and privilege. And one day he sees one of the oppressors beating one of the Israelites. And he went out there full of vigor and full of just tenacity and went out and he killed the guy. Just killed him. And you know, even his fellow Israelites didn't even give him kudos for it. Matter of fact, they chastised him for doing it. And so because of that, because he killed the guy and he hid him and buried him with sand, it was found out that Moses was the one that did it, and Pharaoh wanted to kill him. And so Moses had to make a split decision that day. And so he ran. He ran to the backside of a desert. And he met up with Jethro, his father-in-law. He met his wife there at a well, and he watered all of his wife's camels and flocks and everything else. And the woman took him to his dad, and because he ran off bandits and everything else, he said, "Here, take my daughter as a gift to marry." That doesn't happen anymore, so you breathe easy. So, but what happened was, for 40 years, everybody say 40 years, Moses was on the backside of a desert tending a flock. Now, whenever we choose to put these crazy glasses back on, okay, whenever we choose to put these glasses back on, these represents our will and what we want to do. It represents our ambitions. It represents our plans for our life when we put these things on. And what happens is that everything in our life gets distorted. Like in my peripheral vision, I can see my hands just fine, but when I bring them right here, it's crazy. So, and what happens is things get distorted. It gets, even though it's, it looks, I know what it is in front of me, but it's distorted. It's not clear. There's not a clear direction. And what happens is that whenever we choose to put down our ambitions and we choose to put down our own plans, then all of a sudden we meet God in that burning bush, calling our name, calling us, giving us a plan for our life. And that's what happened to Moses for 40 years. He was going about the same exact thing he had done for 40 years. Moses is 80 years old. And so he's doing this, and all of a sudden he comes in contact with glory. No man has ever seen a vision for their life until they have come in contact with glory. When they have come in contact with the one that put our breath in our lungs, that set us apart, we come in contact with God. Moses fled Egypt because he was scared, because he was afraid. He was having an identity crisis. But Moses found himself in the desert for 40 years with no purpose. 40 years he had been in the best schools. He had ate the finest foods. He had been around kings, and he had been around royalty and all of these different things for all of his life. And then he finds himself destitute in a place that is dry and barren. Moses found himself in a place called Midian, which means a desolate and dry place. A person that has no vision is living in the same place that Moses found himself living in. Your life is dry and it can be void of life. And see, whenever we walk around in life without any vision, without any direction, what happens? Frustration starts to build up, doesn't it? Frustration, we get bogged down with whys and instead of asking God for clear direction for our life. Moses, when he met God, God gave him direction for his life. He gave him direction. Now, again, let's look at verse number 10 right here. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. So, it says this, God says, so now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people Israel out of Egypt. All of a sudden, vision was born. Vision was born. When vision is given, direction always follows. Amen? Exodus chapter 4, verse 15 says this, ye shall speak to him. Now, this is God speaking to Moses. All right? Moses, God says, you shall speak to him, which is Aaron, and put words into his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. That sounds like a plan to me. Here's what happened, all right? Burning bush, go let my people go. Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. How many of you guys ever sang that song when you were a kid? All right? Oh, no, let my people go, right? All right? So yeah, that's as far as it goes for me. But what happens is that Moses is like, he gets a clear direction for his life, and Moses starts making excuses. He goes, well, I can't speak plain, God. I stutter. And I can't speak splain. And so God had an answer for that, and he said, well, okay, well, what if I go and tell them to let your people go and they don't do it, then what? Then what do I do? I get killed right there in the palace. I just get killed. So God, tell me what, I mean, how am I supposed to do this? And God said, pick up your stick, throw it to the ground. And he gave them things, each and every step of the way, he gave them a plan of attack. You know what? It's okay to ask God why, but don't get stuck in the whys. But simply obey. Trust and obey. Because when God has, some of you in here, God has spoken a clear vision for your life. And for whatever reason, maybe it's fear, maybe it's frustration, maybe it's just outright rebellion, you don't want to do it. whatever that situation is, you will never have peace. You will never have prosperity. You'll never have joy. You'll never have completeness in your life until you are completely obedient to the word that God has spoken over your life. Amen? It's the truth. All of a sudden, vision was born in Moses' life. And the excuses that Moses, for example, he said, I stutter a lot. And God said, you shall speak to Aaron and put words into his mouth, and I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. God's not a God that's just going to give you a vision and say, good luck. He's not going to just tell you, here's what I want you to do, and if you don't do it, I'll be back, and there'll be some consequences. No, he says, here's what I want you to do. He's calling out, and he said, Moses, I have heard the cry of my people, and after 400 years, it's time to set them free, and I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell them to let them go. Now, obviously, Moses has some questions, right? I'd have some questions. And every single question, and believe me, Moses was sincere. God, what? I can't speak right. I mean, even when I'm relaxed, I stutter. Now, if I'm in front of Pharaoh, there's no way I can get a syllable out. And God said, bring Aaron over here. You tell Aaron what to say, that will be for me, and have Aaron speak for you, and I will teach you. I will teach you what to do. You see, whenever we become born again, when we become believers, our first priority is to say, God, what do you want out of my life? What do you want from me, God? What is it that you want? That's what Paul said when he was headed to Damascus and he got knocked off his horse by Jesus. Jesus didn't have to tell Paul who he was. Jesus said, Lord, what is it that you want from me? That was his first question. And that should be our questions as well. Lord, what do you want from me? And if we say, God, teach me how to do it because I don't know that I can, you can rest assured that if God will do it for Moses, he'll do it for you. Amen? Because it's not about who we are. It's about who he is. Plain and simple. Now, let me pause here and say this. Vision is not the same as ambition. Let me say that again. Vision is not the same as ambition. Ambition is what a man desires to become in his life. That's ambition. Vision, on the other hand, is what God has created you to become. He's created you for a specific reason. You say, well, Pastor, all's lost, okay? I'm just holding on here. I'm just trying to get by. I'm trying to make it to tomorrow. Listen to me. Your life is for a reason here on earth. You were placed here for a reason. There is so much that God wants to birth inside of you if you will allow him to do it. If you'll yield your life and say, Father, whatever you desire of my life, I receive it from you. And hold on, because he is going to speak his desire for your life into your spirit. Amen? Now, my plan for my life was way different than what God's plan for my life was. You see, I had these glasses on. I was ambitious all throughout high school, extremely focused, I thought. I was focused on being a child psychologist. I was focused on biology and all these different things. And this is what I wanted to do. And I thought I was looking clearly. I thought I was looking through focus and vision. I thought that this was the plan that I had for my life, and I wanted it desperately. But whenever I came to know Christ, these glasses fell off. There was a new beginning for me. Because God spoke into my life, I want you to be a pastor. You know, one time I spoke in 4-H. Won a speaking contest. And the only reason why I won is because I was the only one that was in the contest. I talked about my my experience in camp. And it was awful. It was so bad. And the only reason why I went to regionals is because, I went unopposed. So, I was sitting there, and for an hour, I listened to other schools and some of the people in my grade doing their spiel. And I went over and over and over and over it with my mom, and I just couldn't get it out right. And so, Mom, I said, I'm going to back out. And she said, nope, you entered that contest, and you're going to see it through. And I was like, I hate you. So I got there, and it was an hour. I was sitting on the front row. My knee was just, shaking up and down, and sweaty palms and the whole nine yards. And they called my name up, and I got up there, and I can't remember what I said after that. I have no clue. It was horrible. A lot of uhs, a lot of, I forget where I'm at, I'm sorry, can I please sit down, can I please go shoot myself, it's just one of those, it's one of those things that I just couldn't, it was bad, it was really bad. And so my dad was there, and my mom was there, my brother was there, and it was bad, it was really bad. There's like 100 people in this small room, but it was rough. And so that's the only time that I'd ever spoken. And so when I heard God speak to my life about being a pastor, I said, do you remember that time that I spoke in that classroom? Do you remember that? You have got the wrong dude. Because there is far more people that can speak a whole lot better than I can. Remember I talked, remember God about the 4-H thing, the speech and whatnot? And the Lord said, look, I will teach you. I will teach you. So I spoke. After I got saved and someone invited me to come to their church, and there was 12 people in the sanctuary. It is awful. The same situation. It was on a Sunday night, and every single person was 70 and older. So I got up there and I talked about the axe head and how God made it float because it was dropped into the water. And God made it come up. And so got up there, started speaking, and just lost my train of thought totally. It's awful. And walked back up to the podium, got back behind the pulpit, and was going, looking him, and I dropped my notes, and when I went down like this, it was a wooden pulpit, and so I just wanted to stay there until somebody turned the lights off. That's where I wanted to be, okay? And so I got down, and the pastor's wife came and shook my hand, and she put $20 in my hand, and I was like, oh my gosh, was this to quit teaching, or was it what was the $20 for? Because it's awful. And I told a friend of mine that came with me, I walked out of the building and got in the car, and I said, I'll never do that again. I was so humiliated. And several years later, about 3 years ago, I was playing golf at a country club, and this lady looked at me and she said, you look familiar. And she goes, are you a minister? And I said, yes. And she said, I heard you speak one time at a little Baptist church in Pickwick. And that's the only time I've ever spoken in that church. And I said, oh man, I said, I'm so sorry about that. And she goes, she said, well, what do you mean? She said, I remember exactly what you talked about. I've forgotten long ago. Probably when I wadded my notes up and threw them in the trash as I was leaving the church. But she said, you talked about the axe head and how God made it come up. And she said, then you made these points and this point, and then it spoke to me and it changed me. And I went, what? It changed you? And she said, yeah, it really spoke to me. I really appreciate it. And I said, wow, okay, praise God. You know what? Moses didn't have all the answers. Moses was just fine. 40 years he had been tending a flock. He was married. He was happy. I don't know. He was in a dry place. He was doing his thing. And all of a sudden, God spoke vision into Moses. Moses didn't have all the answers. He was like me, standing before all of those parents with his knees knocking. But as soon as God spoke vision into me, my ambition changed forever. It no longer resembled what I was ambitious for in the first place. The the focus on psychology was gone, and the focus of studying God's word and leading his people was on in my life. And if anything else in my life did not fit that vision, I wanted no part of it, because I knew what God wanted for me in my life. I had to make tough decisions, and so will you. But that's what we're supposed to do when God breathes vision in our lives. Amen? It's not about our ambition, but it's about God's will and his vision for our life. Maybe God's speaking into you. Your vision is to be the best godly husband that you possibly can be to your wife and father to your children. Amen? It may be that God is calling you to get out of your box and be an usher or a greeter at the front door. Hey, to me, that seems very simple, but to others, it's terrifying. Because you're the first person that people see as they come in. Some people like to fade into the faces, and that's okay. But if God speaks to you to do something, do it. Because he is going to give you the ability to do that which you thought you could never do. Possibly do. Amen? Know that. Now, so how do we get this vision? Number one, you have to separate yourself. And Randy, go ahead and put that up there. You have to separate yourself from the crowd. You are not common. Let me say that again. Separate yourself from the crowd, because you are not common. God has his hand and his pulse on your life. He has you focused in beyond anyone else. He knows the plans that he has for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. That sounds like a plan to me. What we have to do is focus on the details. God, tell me what you want from my life. What do you want? There's some things we don't have to pray about. We don't have to pray about going to work. We don't have to pray about being diligent at our job. We don't have to pray about loving our wives and our kids. We don't have to pray about those things. That's a requirement. But what God is wanting you to do is to seek after his will for your life. And the way that we do that is we have to separate ourselves from the crowd. What does that mean? It means we have to get alone with God, get alone with God and his word, rather than getting all the opinions of man into our life. If what I say, or your parents say, or your relatives say, or your best friends say, get in the way of what God wants for your life, get rid of it. Focus every part of your life and your focus around the will of God for your life. Because, see, we don't ask the will of God to fit our life. We ask God, Lord, here's my life. Now fill me with your vision. Shape my life how you want me to be shaped. Amen?
Amen.
Shape my life, God, how you... And if it doesn't look like what I'm doing right now, then you show me. Take off these glasses. Take off my ambition, Lord. Take off the plans I have for my life. And give me a new set of eyes so that I can see. And Lord, give me the courage to go through with it. Amen? Amen? To go through with it. Separate yourself from the crowd. Let's look at Numbers. Book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Let's look at verse 1 and 2 there. It says, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. So here Moses is already, he led them out of captivity already. They're on the threshold of going into the promised land. And the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to you. Now skip down to verse 26. It says, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly, and showed them the fruit of the land. They had gave Moses this account. We were into the land to which you sent us. All right, now skip down to verse 30. What happens is they said, yes, it's flowing with milk and honey. Yes, it's the soil is rich. Yes, it's got everything we possibly can need. But also, these people are huge that occupy this place. These people are enormous. We look like grasshoppers. We look like grasshoppers. And so let's pick it up in verse 30. It says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Verse 31, but then men who had gone up with him said, we cannot attack these people. They are stronger than we are, and that spread among the Israelites a bad report. How many of you guys know that a bad report spreads quicker than a good report? You go on the news and all you see is school shootings and bombings and Syria, and we see all of these different things, and somehow good news gets lost in all of it. Good news doesn't spread as fast as bad news. And so we had some of these people saying, we can't do this. We can't possibly go up and take this land. But we have to remember that in verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving you. Which I am giving you. And somehow these other people forgot all about that. They forgot about separating themselves from the crowd. They forgot separating themselves from opinions of man and focusing in on the voice of the Lord. And so many times we get focused on the opinions of man rather than we are focused on the will of God for our life. When I wanted to be a pastor, the first person that opposed me were my family. It's what my family is, my mother. The reason why is because she always knew that I wanted to do this with psychology. She knew that. And so she was afraid. And so she acted out of that fear, and she said, no, you can't do that. That's not something. No, you're mistaken. And I said, no, Mom. Everything changed when I accepted Christ as my Lord. Everything changed. And so I started telling my friends that I'm going to be a pastor, and they're like, no way, okay? We know what you did 3 weekends ago. Pastors don't do that. Pastors don't do that. They don't act like that. They don't speak like that. They don't drink that. They don't say that. That's not that lifestyle that they do. And so, man, I got to thinking, was that right? Maybe I am going a little nuts here. And so what I did was I separated myself and I got away. And I started focusing in. God, are you sure this is what you want me to do? He said, Jimmy, this is what I want from your life. This is what's going to please me. And when I heard those words, I'm not saying it was audible, but it was in my spirit. And when I heard, this is what's going to please me, there was never again any doubts whatsoever what God wanted me to do with my life. And if something didn't fit in my life that was getting me off track with that vision, I cut it out. I cut it out like a cancer. I removed it so that it would no longer hinder me again. I no longer returned to that kind of mentality because I had the plan of God for my life. Now, number two. The second way that we receive vision is through prayer. Prayer gives birth to vision. Amen? Ephesians 5:17 says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't be foolish, but understand and know what God's will is for your life. The only way we can know what God's will is for our life is through prayer, through seeking His face, through getting alone with Him and asking God, Lord, what is your will for my life? Number three, write it down. A vision that isn't written down will soon be forgotten. For example, Friday, October the 19th at 9:30 of last year, this is what the Lord spoke to me concerning our church. Anybody want to hear this?
Yes.
Anybody want to hear what the Lord spoke?
Yes.
So I asked the Lord to help us to make disciples, and he said, are you ready for that? I thought about that for a minute, and I was like, well, yeah, ready for that. And he said, because making disciples is messy, and it's hard work, and it's frustrating. He said, but the end result is, he said, that people will be solid men and women of God because you're making disciples. And he said, then I answered and I said, yes. He then told me that we would be a planting church. Everybody say planting church.
Planting.
Never to be a huge church. The Lord said, I do not want you to get over 400 people. And I said, well, why, Lord? And he said, because I want you to do this. I want you to plant other churches. And I want you to send them out with the same mandate to make disciples. Make disciples. And these banners are the results of what God spoke to me that day on February, October 19th, February 9:30, right back there on the floor. He went on to say, we would birth churches in the area with one goal, to make disciples and train them to do the work of the ministry or making Christ known in the area. We will send them out 100 at a time, fully equipped to accomplish the mandate to make disciples. New Freedom Church, are you ready for that? Are you ready for that kind of vision? Because I've been praying since last October, God, you prepare us to do this vision. This vision didn't come from me, God. It came from you. And so because of that, you have to give me the details. You have to fill in the blanks. You have to send the people. I keep this with me so that I can see it all the time. I do that because when God gives you a vision, you need to write it down. You need to write it down. The Bible says in Habakkuk 2:2, it says, the Lord replied, write the vision down and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation waits for an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. And in an appointed time, it will certainly come and not delay. It will certainly come and not delay. So Habakkuk 2:2 has been my go-to scripture for this, because I can't do this by myself. But you and you and you and you and you and you can help me do it. Amen? When God speaks something to your life, don't just have an aha moment. Write it down. Put it in plain sight. Put it in your wallet. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it up while you're shaving. Put it up in your mirror while you're shaving, while you're fixing your hair. Put it up everywhere you pile in your car, wherever you go, where you see it every single day. Write that vision down so that you do not forget, so that you do not allow things in your life that will hinder the vision of God in your life. Because before you know it, these glasses will be right back on your face and you won't even know it. God's direction tells you to go this way, but you're going this way. Write it down. Don't forget it. Read it. Pray over it. Thank you, God, that you gave me this vision. Now fill in the details for me. How is this going to look? And who is going to be the first? Show me how to do this, Father. And from that time to this, God has started to raise up an army. He's beginning to place people beside me that will accomplish this vision and this goal. Amen? And so it's important to know where you're going. People don't get on a bus around here just to get on a bus and go for a ride. When you get on a bus, you have a specific place in mind that you're going, correct? How many of you guys work and you take the bus? Anybody? Or you have to go, okay. It's a few of you. And so you got to take the bus. And so sometimes you got to get off of one bus and get onto another bus and another bus. And so you got to know what bus to get on. That's what a vision is. You got to know what's on the bus so that you can get on it. Amen. Now, the third thing, or fourth thing, lastly, get the timing right. Habakkuk 2:2 says this, "For the revelation waits an appointed time." An appointed time. I'm going to share a story about how I knew that that was my wife right there. I was going up to find some friends of mine, and I knocked on her door because we all hang out with the same friends. And so knocked on her door, asked her if she knew where so-and-so was, and she didn't. And we started talking on her balcony. And we sat down, and we just chatting it up because I didn't have anything else to do. So we were talking, and I was minding my own business like Moses was minding his own business. And he spoke, and God said, "That is your wife." Now, let me say this. As soon as that happened, I didn't say this. "Will you marry me?" That would freak her out. Can I get a hallelujah? And so it took me back because I know when God speaks to me. And so I didn't say anything. We finished our conversation and went off. As a matter of fact, I kind of forgot about it because I walked away going, there's no way, you know, she's out of my league and there's just no way. So a couple of months later, driving down the road with one of our mutual friends, and she said, "What do you think about Dana?" And instantly that word came to my heart again. "That is your wife." And I knew what she was talking about, but I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Well, I have it under a good authority that if you would ask her out, she would say yes." So Jimmy Mack didn't waste any time about that. So I asked her out. But there is an appointed time when for God's vision in your life. He has that specific appointed time for your life. Habakkuk 2:2 also says, "Though it lingers, wait for it." Everybody say, "Wait for it." "For it will certainly come and not delay." Everybody, let's stand up this morning. "Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and not delay." You know what our problem is? We don't like to wait. We don't like to wait. You know, my kids got iPads for school. We didn't buy them. The schools gave them to them. And now they have them for 2 years. They can pull up anything they want right there, Google anything, instantaneous information. I feel sorry for all the dictionary salesmen. They're out of business. And so, because Google is just amazing. You can Google anything. You can look it up. There it is. If you want to learn how to build an outhouse. I don't know why outhouse came out of my mouth, but you Google it. There it is. Matter of fact, this morning I looked up how to fix the toilet because it's running. And so I looked it up, and now I got to fix it today. So I know how to do it, so I have to fix it. So you have all this instantaneous gratification. We don't have to wait for a whole lot of stuff. But the Bible says in Habakkuk 2:2, it says, "Though it lingers, wait for it." Don't just run off when you know what God's vision is and goal and direction is for your life and to just go do it. Wait. There's an appointed time. There's an appointed season to do those things. And though it lingers, wait for it because it will come and it will not delay. I prayed for many years about pastoring. And then all of a sudden, I'm in my office for the very first time after my wife and kids leave for 5 weeks back to Tennessee. I'm sitting there and the Lord goes, dun, da, da, da. Because you wait for it. It will not delay. Wait for it. This morning, let's all bow our heads. I want to pray over you this morning. If God has spoken something clearly in your life and you're afraid, if you're wanting the direction of God. And maybe you're frustrated because you don't quite understand what it is, and you've been praying, and you've really earnestly been praying. Today, God can speak clearly His vision for your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you know what that vision is, but you've been disobedient. You put those glasses on and it's caused everything in your life to be blurred. Maybe you're so caught up in the success of what you're doing that the vision of what God wants you to do has marred it. Those glasses have been put back on your face. We allow things into our life that we know that that shouldn't be there. Not necessarily bad things, but distracting things. And this morning, God can set your focus. He can set your direction. And He can give you a new ambition to do His will. He can give you a new heart to do those things. This morning, if that's something that you are looking for in your life and you're praying, I just want you to raise your hand because I want to pray over you. Amen. Amen. Amanda, would you come up? If that's you, I want you to come up out of your seats. I want to pray over you just for a minute before we leave. Just come on up. I'm going to pray over you. The Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails what? Much. Avails much. Those of you that are walking in what God, you've prayed, you've waited, and you are now in what God has called you to do. If you're walking in that, I want you to come. Come behind. Come behind some of these that are looking. Seeking, asking, and knocking. Because it's not up to me to reveal it, but it's up to the Lord. And I know that He will do it because that's just the God that we serve. Amen? So this morning, I would like for you just to have your hands up. And it's just a sign of yieldedness. To say, God, I completely surrender. Father, that scares me to death because I have no, it's like driving down the road and letting loose of the steering wheel and looking away. But the thing about it is that God has everything under control. And so this morning, Father, I come before You and I lift up each and every person that is standing before me. I ask God that You would speak clearly into their lives Your will and vision for their life. God, I pray that You would make it abundantly clear, like You did with Moses. God, maybe there's no burning, literal burning bush for us, but we know when You speak to our hearts. And I pray, Father, that You would begin to give us clear direction, Lord. Give us clear direction on where we need to be. And then, Father, I pray that You would give us the heart and the tenacity and the courage to fulfill it in the name of Jesus. I thank You, Father, for hearts that are turned on for You, that are consumed for You. And I pray, God, that You would bring into focus. God, if some of them here today are wearing those glasses, I pray, Father, You give them the courage to take them off and to follow You completely, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I thank You for purpose, God. You don't hide it from us. You want to reveal it more to us than we want to receive it from You, God, because You've already conceived it for our lives. And so, Father, I thank You for making clear, Lord, Your direction. Make it clear to Raymond in Jesus' name. Clear, Father. in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for complete and total focus, Lord. Complete and total focus. God, I pray that you would remove every distraction, remove every voice, remove every opinion, every obstacle, every well-intentioned friend, and help us, God, to rely completely and fully upon your will for my life, because, Lord, I will not rest. I will gather no sleep. I will not be able to function clearly until I have your plan and will for my life. And so, Father, I open my heart and my life to you. I receive your will for my life, Lord. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that according to Jeremiah 29:11, you said, I know the plans. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Maybe God's speaking into some of you about going into the ministry, and you're already in school, and you're already in that mindset, and you have all these opinions, and you have all of these questions running through your mind. I pray in the name of Jesus that there would be peace in your mind and spirit, so that God can reveal his word and vision to you. And Father, I pray, God, for those that are have just been outright disobedient to that vision and that call. I pray, Father, that, Lord, they would submit once again to the vision and call, God. That they would repent of their rebellion and of their own ambition, and they would lay those glasses down so that they can see clearly the path marked out for them. I thank you so much, Father, that you have given us your Holy Spirit to empower us to do what you want us to do. Because we know, Father, that whatever you have called us to do, it will please your heart. And that's all I wanted, Lord. Whether it was in psychology, or whether it was painting houses, or whether it be cleaning toilets, Lord, whatever your will is for me, I want to be complete in you, God. Help me to be the best pastor I possibly can be. Help us, Father, to cast off every restraint. Help us to cast off everything that would so easily beset us from running the race. Help us to run as to win the race, not to come into second or third place, but to win the race. Father, I thank you for purpose and vision and direction this morning. God, make it clear to their life your will and plan. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now be ready to receive what God has placed into your life. Be in receiving mode, just like Elisha was. He was there positioning himself to receive that double portion. And Elijah said, you asked a hard thing, but if you see me when I go up into heaven, then you'll have what you ask. So position yourself to receive. And when you do that, God will pour into you his purpose and his direction for your life. And whenever you figure out what it is, tell somebody. Don't just go telling anybody. Go tell somebody you know that'll be received. Man, come tell me. I'm in the equipping business, by the way. I have a card. The Bible says that's what my job description is. I'm to equip you to do the work of the ministry. If you feel God's calling and birthing something in your life, you come and tell me. Come tell Dana. Man, we'll pray with you. We'll encourage you. We'll put tools in your hands. And even though you may not know how to use those tools exactly right, we'll give you practice. We'll let you practice. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Father, thank you so much for vision and purpose. Thank you that you're speaking that into my life. Say that to the Lord. Thank you that you're speaking vision into my life. And I receive that by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to know that God, He's going to reveal Himself to you and He's going to make it known. When that happens, tell somebody. All right? I love to hear stuff like that. All right? All right. Listen, love you guys. And see you here Wednesday night, 6:30. And then also, by the way, next Sunday, we also have a baby dedication. Yeah, I can't wait for that. I'm excited. That's one of the cool things I get to do. I love it. So anyway, see you guys. Have a good day. God bless you. Thank you so much. Give them a hand again.